Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. And we want to consider this morning the subject of our habits, the custom that we make of things throughout the day, or the manner in which we do things. In our scripture reading of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, some had made the manner or the custom of forsaking the assembly. Some had a habit of missing services. And we know about brethren who do that today. But I want to talk about good habits. And good habits are hard to break. What kind of habits do we have throughout the day? What are the things that we do habitually? The things that we do over and over again, the routines that we go through. And I'm not just talking about spiritual things, but physical things. We get up in the morning, we have a routine throughout the day. What is that? Do those things include spiritual things of serving God? In the New Testament, there is a word, ethos, that means a habit, a ritual, a routine. Something that is formed by repetition. And then that becomes a way of life. It's not an isolated act. It's not a one-time thing here or there. But it's something that we do over and over again. What are those things in our life? Do we have good habits that God wants us to have in serving the Lord? You know that expression, bad habits are hard to break? Have you ever heard that? We hear that a lot. Bad habits are hard to break. Well, do you know that that applies to good habits? Any habit, if it is instilled in us, is hard to break. And I agree that bad habits are hard to break. But so are good habits. And when we instill in our lives those things that we need to be doing over and over again that God wants us to be doing, we'll carry those through all the way through life. Do you know that I speak for myself and probably most of us here, many of us here, that we're doing things today in this building because we've done them all of our life. You ever thought about that? When I was singing earlier, that didn't start a few years ago. That started when I was a baby. And praying and opening up the Bible and coming every Sunday and coming back on Sunday night, that didn't start with me a few years ago. That started when I was born. You ever thought about that? And there are some of you here this morning where that's the same thing in your life. Why is that? Why am I still doing that? Why are you still doing it? Because a good habit is hard to break. And it was instilled in us early on that this is something that is good for us, and we're not going to stop it. You know, tonight, I don't have any other plans other than being right here. And it's never crossed my mind ever to be anywhere else. You know why? Because that's what I've always done in life. And, you know, Wednesday night and this past week for a gospel meeting, I never entertained any thought of being anywhere else. You know why? Because I've always done that my whole life. And we had a prayer this morning when we sat down this morning for breakfast. That wasn't something we started last week. I've done that my whole life. Good habits are hard to break. And once you start them, you'll find that you don't want to stop them. Later in life, no matter what tugs come in your life and what influences and somebody's pushing and pulling and tugging and trying to get us to do, we just don't move because we've always done that. We have an expression, bad habits are hard to break, but that's true with good habits. And, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to instill habits in our children and in ourselves of a physical nature. And that's fine. That's good. For example, brush your teeth before you go to bed. Brush your teeth after a meal. We want good hygiene. And so we instill that in our family. We try to learn how to take care of our body and so forth because we know that that's important. And so we have different habits that we go through. Education. Get your homework. Go to bed on time, get a good breakfast so you can concentrate throughout the day at school. when you come home, do your homework, study for a test. We get into these routines with our children and we make them do that because we know that's important for their education. Manners. And that we need to be instilling this in our children. If we're not, we need to start. But yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, thank you. Why do we do that? We want them to be a good sociable person later in life and not just be some snotty-nosed kid that is obnoxious. Pat was telling us the other day about some friends of theirs that have been out to the house and they're just rude and obnoxious. They're not being taught good manners. Just little girls that are just terrible. These are great things. These are great habits. But spiritual habits and our relationship with God is even more important. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're not going to talk about brushing teeth and saying please and thank you and getting your homework. We're going to talk about things that are important with our relationship with God. The first one being the good habit of reading our Bible on a daily basis. Joshua made this a habit. Let's open up in our Bibles now and look at some of these good habits that we need to have in our life, and we need to start them as early in life as possible. And even if we don't have them, we're going to see at the end of the lesson that we can start them even as an adult. But what was going to make Joshua prosperous throughout the land? This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. A regular daily observance of God's word, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good. If we want to be prosperous in life, we have to have God's word in our life from an early point. We have to have our Bibles open. We have to be listening to God's word. We have to be paying attention, and that starts early in life. Joshua made this a habit. The psalmist made this a habit. Turn with me to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. The man who is not going to walk in the way of sinners, he's going to stay away from wicked and evil individuals. And in a positive way, he's going to meditate on God's word day and night. The psalmist, and this is a beautiful psalm for us today as we're surrounded. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Regular acquaintance with God's word, reading and studying God's word. Timothy made this a habit in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Paul told Timothy to give attention to reading. This is the public reading of Scripture. Reading the Scripture to brethren. I heard this past week where some elders told a preacher that they did not want him to read more than 10 verses. They felt that that was too much reading of Scripture. My jaw dropped when I heard that. Some elders told a preacher that when he's preaching, he shouldn't read long passages of Scripture. Maybe 10 verses at the most, but no more. We wonder why brethren don't know the Word of God and are becoming biblically illiterate. Give diligence and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. This is the public reading of Scripture. And then look at verse 15. Give thyself wholly to them. If you look over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, even he as a person, Timothy, had learned the sacred writings. So it's reading personally and reading publicly. Make a habit of that. Why? This is where we get the truth to guide us in life. Why is this a good habit? Because God's Word is our moral compass. God's Word is our GPS, if you will. We need the truth and the guidance so that we can make decisions later in life. How do we know what decisions to make when we grow up? And it's coming very quickly, isn't it? A child grows up very quickly. You just turn around a few times and they're grown up. How do they know what decisions to make? God's Word guides us. And so every day with God's Word, somewhere. Keep a Bible handy. Keep a Bible ready and look at it a little bit before you go to work. Look at it a little bit before you go to bed. We can do a little less TV, a little less internet, and a lot more Bible. And I'm not opposed to those other things of technology, and we have those things, but God's Word has to be important. The good habit of reading our Bible on a daily basis. We wonder why people aren't being guided in life properly. They're not reading their Bible. Number two, the good habit of prayer. Do we pray regularly and not just for a meal? Some won't pray for a meal, but is it just at a meal only, or is it throughout the day? Daniel made this habit. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Do you remember when the leaders of the nation there are saying that we're going to make a ruling? The Persian nation there and Darius and the other leaders, we're going to make a ruling that you can't pray to your God. We're going to make it a law. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, when he heard that there was a law that you cannot pray to your God, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. That wasn't an accident. He wanted to remember to look back at his homeland. He was far off into the north and east over in Babylon, and he wanted to open his windows to Jerusalem. That's where I'm from. That's where I used to worship God. That's where I grew up. That's where I served God, and I want to keep my windows open to Jerusalem. It wasn't opened up because that's kind of a nice little view. He wanted to remember Jerusalem. And when we're far away from home, we need to look back at our heritage and where we came from and keep our spiritual mooring or being tied down. I believe that's why he did that. But he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God. Now this is what I want you to underscore in your Bible. As he did aforetime. He had always done this. He had always made a habit of praying to God. It wasn't just something that came up at the last minute and, oh, I better get to praying real quick to get some help. He had always prayed to God. Make it a habit that that's what you're always going to do. Jesus taught this habit in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, where he taught that men ought always to pray and not faint. And we need to read that parable over and over again. Prayer is not just like a parachute where you pull the ripcord at the last minute. I'm in a bind. I'm in trouble. I'm having a bad time, and I'm going to shoot off a little prayer to God. Maybe he can help me. But always praying to God. He spake a parable to the end that they might always pray and not faint. Do we make a regular habit of prayer, or do we find ourselves skipping out on God because we're too busy? You know, Cornelius had this habit in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and that's one thing that made him a great candidate for conversion. We're told that he gave alms to people. He was generous. He was benevolent. But he always prayed to his God, Acts 10, 1 and 2. Do we make a regular habit of prayer? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's where we get answers. It's where we get help. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we come to God's throne of grace and we get help in time of need. That's why we do it. Are we making a regular habit of praying at home? It's a great place. You're not going to get it out in the world. You're not going to get it out in the world. But we can get it at home, and we can get it here, and we can get it in our personal and private lives, and we can instill these habits that will go with us all throughout life. We all need help, don't we? Every one of us. Raise our hand. We need help from God. We all raise our hand. Well, how does that come? By praying to God. And as we've been reading in the Psalms, crying out to God, imploring God, and He'll be there to help us. But we have to have that habit of prayer. God knows when we don't have a habit of prayer and we're just coming to Him when we're in a bind and we're using Him sort of like a bailout sort of situation. He knows that. We can't put that past Him. But He also knows that when we regularly go to Him in prayer and we have a humble attitude, a penitent and obedient attitude, He's there to help us and answer us. Do we have that good habit of prayer? We'll take it with us all through life. Number three, that good habit of coming to worship God. I'm seeing so much today where God is being shoved off to the side. Make the service shorter. Get rid of a service. Have no more services. Have one, but get through it. And less scripture and less time spent at the building. Why? So that we can get out on Sunday and do more important things. We've got to watch TV at home, and we've got to go play golf and get out on the lake and go fishing. Those are more important things. Or just lay around and do nothing. That's more important than worshiping God, you see. And so we're seeing in a modern world where worshiping God and coming together and spending quality time, that's just an old dinosaur of a tradition. And we've got to instill that and keep that in our lives. You know, Jesus made this a habit. Look with me at Luke chapter 12. Do you know that when Jesus was a child, his parents brought him to Jerusalem to worship? He didn't get that later in life. That was instilled in him at an early age. And we know that he was in Jerusalem at age 12 in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. And his parents went every year to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. There were required feasts. They went every year. We're not going to skip some years. We're going to make a habit of going to Jerusalem on those required feasts when I'm supposed to go. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom, ethos. It's the same word that we're using in our lesson, after the custom of the feast. It's no surprise then, if you turn over to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, that when Jesus was now an adult, he came to Nazareth and went up, and when he had brought, and where he had been brought up, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered as his custom was, his habit, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He had always done that growing up, and he's going to continue doing that. And he stood up to read, as was his custom. Jesus didn't become a grown man and say, hey, I need to start setting the right example for the Jews. I better get over there to the synagogue. I've never been there much in my life. One time we went about 10 years ago. I think I remember going up there once. I better get back over there and show him a good example. He had always done that. And we need to make a habit of coming to worship God. New Testament Christians made that habit. If you turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, right after they're being baptized, what is the very first thing that is mentioned after being baptized into Christ? The absolute very first thing that is mentioned is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, not less of God's Word, but more of it, and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. We're going to come and come back and worship. It wasn't a matter of, hey, let's get baptized and then just run off somewhere and do our own thing. They stayed there in Jerusalem and they made a continual habit of worshiping God. Unfortunately, some have abandoned this habit. By the time that the author of Hebrews writes, probably some 30 or 40 years, maybe, after the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost. Unfortunately, Hebrews chapter 10, our scripture reading, some had made it a custom or a habit of forsaking the assembly. Let us consider one another to provoke or to stir up unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom or manner of some is. I wouldn't want to be among those some. We're not told their names, but you don't want to be among those some who have made a habit of not coming. No, we don't want that. But exhorting one another so much as you see the more drawing near. And in chapter 13 and verse 15, through him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Make a habit of it, not now and then. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. Why do we do that? Well, Hebrews 10:25, we provoke and stir up unto love and good works. It builds us up when we come here. We learn more about God. We go out stirred up to serve him and to love one another and to love God. It's going to do us nothing but good to be here. We need to make a habit of regular worship in an age where that's slowly going by the wayside. Let's get rid of a service. Let's have shorter gospel meetings or no gospel meetings at all. And this is nothing new, but I've actually heard this much earlier in my life where brethren have planned gospel meetings and said, stay away from Friday night because that's when we have Friday night football, high school football games. I know in Texas, Friday night high school Friday night football in Texas is huge. And I've heard that comment in Texas before. And that's years ago. Let's stay away from Friday night because that's Friday night football and members won't be here. And they're right. Many members wouldn't be. We're slowly seeing our habit of worship being truncated and shortened and curtailed, and you wonder if it's just going to be gone altogether in some people's lives. Number four, a good habit of good works. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Let us be someone who is helping others. Yes, we need help from time to time. Yes, we need someone to come and do this for us and that, but we need to be out doing good for others. Let us not be someone where it's always one way. Somebody's always helping me. What am I doing to do good to others? And let us make a habit of that. And you know, we train that early in life, where we train ourselves and our children to be servants, to serve, to give, to do, to share. That's got to be taught. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9 in the raising of Tabitha or Dorcas. She died, and they called for Peter to come. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation Dorcas. That means gazelle. That means gazelle. You know what's interesting about that is she lived up to her name. She was always running about quickly like a gazelle, serving others. This woman was full of good works, not just barely or a little bit, full of good works and alms deeds, charity, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come unto us. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Of course, the rest of the story is that Peter raises her. Have you ever thought about if a member of the church passed away, who would be a good member of the church to raise up from the dead and bring him back into the church? You ever thought about that? Who would be a good one? Would you want to raise a troublemaker? Would you want to raise Diotrephes? Would that be a good one to raise? Diotrephes passes away. Let's raise him from the dead and bring him back into the church. He's known for dividing the church. Is it? No, you want to raise a Dorcas. That's who you want to raise. You want to raise a Barnabas, right? You want to raise a Paul, someone like that. He raised a woman who was producing good for others, helping others. We have to get out of our lives. And we need to take care of our lives, but we have to also get out of our lives and help others, serve others, volunteer, make a habit of good works. We're going to be judged on that in the judgment day. That's why it's so important. Not only did Dorcas make a habit of this, but Jesus made a habit of this. When Peter is preaching about Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, he says he went about doing good. Obviously, he made a habit of that. Paul taught that this is important. Turn with me. This is how important it is. Somebody says, well, that's not really my personality. I'm kind of a homebody and I just sort of stick to myself and I really don't do for others. Listen, it's not an option, brethren. Listen, we're going to be held accountable in the judgment day for this. Look at this. Romans 2, verse 7. Look at it. To them that by patience in well-doing seek glory and honor and incorruption and eternal life. We have to be doing well, doing good. That's a part of what God is going to look at in the judgment day. Look at verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, worketh good. We got to be out doing good works. It's not an option. We're going to be held accountable in the judgment day for it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Galatians 6:10 is as much as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. As you have opportunity, do good unto all men. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's a part of reckoning whether or not we are a faithful Christian. That's why we need to be doing it. We may not be an extrovert. We may not be someone who is just easily out there. But if we have to make ourselves, let's make ourselves. It might come easier to some than others, but it's not an option. in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9, talking about a widow who can actually be permanently supported from the church treasury. The Bible talks about being enrolled. It means a regular monetary support from the local church. Let none be enrolled as a widow under 80 years. She has to be 60 or above, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. It's important. And in this case, it's a part of being enrolled. If she hath used hospitality to strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the... Look at if. It's qualifications. If she hath diligently followed every good work. One was not to be enrolled who was lazy all throughout life. None was to be enrolled who was selfish all throughout life, but someone who was a giver. Those can be taken care of in the church. And yes, we all have our needs and things that we need help with. All of us do. But at the same time, we need to be helping others and giving others. Look at this. Put them in mind to be subjection to rulers, Titus 3:1. To authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Also the same thing in verse 8 and verse 14. Maintain good works. Why? Because this is the only way that God can reward us for the work that we've done in life. Do we want the reward? The widow who was enrolled, she gets a reward in this life. Dorcas got a reward in this life. She got raised from the dead. Peter's not going to raise a troublemaker. We don't need troublemakers and divisive people in the church and selfish people. We need Dorcas. And she was well reported of for her good works. And they show up at the funeral. Look at what she's made. Could that be said of us? This is what he or she did. Look at what he or she did. And if the answer is no, and there's not much on the slate there, then we need to get busy. If we pass from this life and someone shows up at our funeral, if not physically showing something, at least something said that this is what he or she had done for brethren throughout life. We need to be like that. But if nothing is there, then that tells us we need to get busy. Make a habit of good works. And then last of all, number 5, the habit of teaching others. Jesus made this a habit in Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. The text says that he was wont or accustomed to teaching his disciples. New Testament Christians made this a habit. They went about everywhere preaching the word. Paul made this a habit. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. It says that he went into the synagogue as was his custom. If we want to grow, if we want souls to be saved, we're going to have to talk to others about the gospel. And we have those who are near and dear to us that we can talk to, and others. We must make a habit. But if we don't make a habit, then we won't be talking with anyone. They will not be saved. Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them. I'm going to make a habit of teaching the gospel to the lost. Why do this? It's the privilege of bringing people to Christ and saving the lost. We had those who invited people to come to our gospel meeting, and they came, and that's great. But if we don't invite, and if we don't talk, and if we don't say anything, then they can never have the saving gospel. Make it a habit. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself, this week, these 5 things, as much as we can each day, make a habit of Bible reading, prayer, worship, good works, and teaching others. And you know what? We can start today. We can start today. As we close, I want us to consider that good habits are hard to break. And a few principles, and then the lesson is yours. Number 1, start as early as possible. Do you know that if you start as early as possible, it's going to be hard to change that later in life? There are things that we started a long time ago, and we still do them today. I've been cutting my hair and combing my hair the same way since I had hair, probably. We get in these routines, right? And these these customs, dress, personal appearance, we carry them through all the way through what we like, food, different things. More importantly, our relationship with God. So the proverb writer says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Not a teenager, not a young adult, a child. You start as early as possible in life. Another principle is avoid just going through the motions. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. We're not talking about habits for habit's sake. You can get into a habit and just go through an empty ritual or in routine. And that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day. The scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day were going through some habits. They were going through some motions, but it was just an empty ritual. It was a formalistic ritual and routine. We don't want to do that. Well, pray to be praying. Open my Bible just to be... We need to have meaning behind it. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, with regard to praying, do not pray using vain repetitions as the Gentiles do. Just things that you say over and over again, but you don't mean anything by it. We want to avoid that. We're not talking about habits just for habits. But we have our heart into our Bible reading, our prayer, our worship, our good works, our teaching. Our heart is in it. It means something to us. We're genuine about it. We're enthusiastic about it. It's not just some empty routine. We want to avoid that. Number three, make it personal. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 24. Do you remember the king Joash there? It was told that he was a good king. The problem was, he was good only because someone was right over him making him good. He never made his goodness personal. We need to have a good habit, whether mom and dad are there or not, whether the preacher is preaching or not, whether the boss is there or not, whether our spouse is there or not. We need to make it personal, so that when we go off in life and we're separated from the ones who were trying to influence us for good, we'll still be good. It's not contingent upon them being around us all the time. Joash was a good king, but it was only because Jehoiada the priest was there influencing him. And when Jehoiada dies, woo, we just have a free-for-all and go evil all of a sudden. He never made it personal. So look at it. 2 Chronicles 24:1, Joash was 7 years old, started as a child, was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives and so forth. He did right all the days of Jehoiada. But come down with me now to verse 15. Jehoiada waxed old. We're all getting older. And if the Lord doesn't come again, we're all going to die. We're not always going to have mom and dad around. We're not always going to have that faithful gospel preacher or elder or deacon or Bible class teacher around. We're not always going to have mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and that type of thing. We're not always going to have that. So he dies, verse 16, and they buried him in the city of David. So look at verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. He never made his goodness personal. It's only because Jehoiada wants me to be good. But when Jehoiada's gone, then I'm going to listen to what the young men want and do what they want. And so verse 18, the king and these others forsook the house of Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols and so forth. It was terrible. It's great to have someone help us to make good habits. That's what parents are for and others. That's awesome. But at some point, we have to make it personal ourselves. So when that influence is no longer in our life, we'll carry that on in our own life and pass it on to others. You've got to make it personal. I see this sometimes with young people. They'll be in the church and then later they either don't become Christians or they fall away. And the parent will say something like, I don't know what went wrong. I always brought them to church. Well, that's great. That's what we're supposed to do. they probably didn't make it personal during those 18 years or however long they didn't make it personal. They were doing it because you wanted them to do it, and they're just making you happy. But they never made it personal themselves. And so later, when they grow up and can get out on their own, they make bad choices. We've got to make it personal. And then we've got to avoid any evil associations that are going to tear down. If we're trying to read our Bible every day and pray regularly and worship regularly and do good works and teach others, we can't be around others who are taking us away from that. It's just going to rob us. Do you know that the word custom or habit is used in 1 Corinthians 15? It's the same word that we've been looking at, this ethos. It's used for good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. The word morals there is ethos, custom, habit, but bad company corrupts that. So here we are trying to read our Bible and pray and do all of these things that we're talking about, but we're around TV, internet, friends at school, close associations that are pulling us in the opposite direction. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that they're going to corrupt that. So we have to separate ourselves from those things that are going to undo the good habits that we're trying to build. Evil associations or bad company corrupts good morals. And then last of all, do you know that you and I can change at any time? We may be hearing this lesson thinking, well, all of that's great, but I think I'm past the point of doing any of this. I think I'm too old. Do you know that that's not true? It doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter how long we've been doing it the wrong way, we can make a change. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of that. I was a blasphemer, 1 Timothy 1:13, a persecutor, injurious. Howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, I obtained mercy that in me as chief might Jesus show forth his longsuffering for an example of them that should hereafter believe. I change, and I'm an example of others who can. Paul was not a child when he changed. He was a grown man, and he had been seriously persecuting the church. Makes a change. You and I can make a change. It's never too late. Change at any time. In fact, let's start this morning. If there's something that we need to do to change and get these good habits started in our lives. And you know what? You'll find later, when you're older in life, you'll be going through life with these good habits because they're hard to break. Let's start as early as possible. But even if we're grown and we have not been doing the things that we need to be doing, let us change at any time. Get away from those evil associations that aren't helping us. Make it personal. There may be someone this morning that needs to begin by coming and obeying the gospel, repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins, or there may be a child of God who needs to come back in some way. But let's make good habits. These things that are important in our relationship with God and really key to standing in the judgment day and being right with God. God is looking for these things. Nothing wrong with good hygiene and brushing your teeth and studying for, you know, your homework and all that kind of thing. What's more important are these five things that we studied this morning. Make sure that they are in place each day in our life. If we can help you to get those things in place, why won't you come? As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, let us help you.